This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. You're invited to join us as we celebrate our return to traditional, face-to-face worship services with a fellowship hour following. We are excited to announce the return of our traditional worship service and hope that you will join us. Of course, the service will continue to be broadcast on Zoom as we worship safely with any precautions that you may observe. You are also invited to join us at 10 a.m. prior to our service for a time of praise music and inspirational videos. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or like us on Facebook. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, May 30th, 2021.
Good morning. The pastor has asked me to please remind everyone to turn off their electronic devices so there's no interruptions. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, you have been at work in this world from that very first day of creation. So many lives have been shaped by your hand. Walking by faith, people going beyond the possible in ways big and small, thus changing the course of history. Thank you for the one in and through whom our lives become holy, soothing and healing our wounds and consecrating our lives to your seemingly impossible possibilities. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our gracious and loving God, we stand here today in Rock Springs, Wyoming, part of the United States of America. And Father, today we pray for the families and remember those from our founding fathers forward who brought this nation to be. Father, we don't pray for perfection. We just pray that we are God-centered. That as we would pledge allegiance to the flag representing this nation, that truly it would be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Father, we would pray today for those families who have a memorial maybe somewhere in their home, pictures in an album, gathering dust, tucked away in a drawer. Or maybe it is displayed on a mantle or hanging on a wall. Or maybe it's a memory tucked away in a Bible. Or maybe on a coffee table in a family Bible. Maybe it's just silently upon a grandmother or a mother's heart, being remembered, thought of, and missed. Father, we pray today for the many needs within our hearts and lives and within our nation and the world, for the families of those who have lost loved ones from war and anything else that they may have lost them from. Father, we lift them before you today. Help us to honor the sacrifices of those who have gone before us, who have stood for us. for the one who goes that we do not know, who serves, whose name we cannot call, who dies in a place we cannot know, for a liberty that we all know. Father, hear our prayers today for the leaders of this country. May they humble themselves in your presence. May they humble their hearts and lives to honor you with truth, integrity, and grace. Seeking first your will, that the isms would be removed and that love would take their place. And Father, we do pray for the leaders in our community, our state, our counties, in the small places, but also the leaders in the homes of our families. Father, we pray that parents are being parents, that they're teaching them kids right from wrong, spending time, attention, and support, to lead lives of integrity, honesty, and grace, seeking first you and your will. Father, we realize that some of these needs are huge and great, and the problems around us seem insurmountable. We see such division and hatred and anger of different people who are being in different ways unloving, uncaring, and discompassionate. We hear the word hate thrown around today. We hear the words eliminate thrown around today. We hear the words cancel thrown around today. We hear those words, and let us be reminded that they speak of judgmentalism. And you have said to us that you alone are the judge. They speak of vengeance and putting people in their places, and vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Father, help us to submit to you and live according to your word and your teachings, that there would be true peace, that there would be true purpose, and that the isms could be laid aside in your name. Father, we pray for each need upon each heart here today. We pray for those who travel on this weekend of the summer as school is out and footloose and fancy free happens. And Father, we pray for the deepest needs, the most broken hearts, the grieving, the suffering. But Father, we pray for those who care, who reach out, who take the time. We pray for them today. And Father, we pray truly for those who serve our country, from the EMS drivers to our law enforcement officers, firefighters, and our military personnel. Father, we lift them before you today. We pray now for those who are in hospitals and nursing homes or shut-ins in their own homes. God, would you comfort them, give them your peace and strength. And now may you hear us as we join together to pray, as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God.
Nicodemus is a leader of the Jews. He is actually the leader of the Jerusalem synagogue. He is the leader of the Jews. He is second only to the high priest. Now, the high priest in the day of Jesus and in the day of Nicodemus was a figurehead. The high priest, who was Caiaphas in this day, was a political appointee by the Romans. He was to be seen and heard very little of. However, Caiaphas did get a little involved. He was a Jew, but he was picked for a political reason. But here Nicodemus, one of the leaders of the synagogue, a Pharisee among Pharisees. Now, there was a little bit of difference that we need to kind of differentiate, because it's important to the overall context of what's going on here with Nick at night. Now, with Nick, he is not given authority to kill people. That's been taken away after the Maccabean revolt. Prior to that, the scribes and Pharisees could conduct a trial and execute you as a Jewish person for a number of different things. However, the Romans had stepped in, political appointee, and said, "You can't do it. We'll do it for you. You got to bring them before us." That's what happened to Jesus, remember? They brought him before Jesus, having tried him, and said, "We want him crucified." Pilate said, "I'll check him out." He didn't find any faults anyway. That's what happened. However, because of the uproar that was created at the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and all the turmoil that that created, we don't have any idea, because the Gospels don't give us the whole story. That whole place blew up. That whole place turned inside out. So after the resurrection of Jesus and all that trouble, the Pharisees were given back the authority, because the Romans didn't want to get messed up in their stuff, to take lives again. And one of the first people to get that privilege was Saul, who we know as Paul. Paul was given authority by both the temple in Jerusalem and Rome to go find, bind, and even execute Christians. He was a persecutor of the church. We have recorded in our Bible Saul of Tarsus at the stoning of Stephen. So these rabbis, these Pharisees, had the authority to very much convict you, try you, convict you, and execute you. They were the law holders. You need to understand how much authority this guy Nicodemus had. How much was given to him. He's a leader of the Jews, and he comes to Jesus by night. Now, did he come because he didn't want to be seen? Maybe. Did he come because he was the friend of Jesus? That's what I think. In Jewish custom, when the sun went down, you shut your house. No one could come, knock on your door, unless it was an emergency, life and death only, or they were a very close friend. We don't see any hesitation of letting Nicodemus come. And Nicodemus comes, and he comes at night, and he says to Jesus, "We know you are." Let's look at it. Because this is important to open the door to who Jesus is. Is then, and who Jesus is now. Verse 2, he came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi." Notice a title. Notice a title that's important, a title that's earned, a title that is given out by the Jewish synagogue, Rabbi. We notice that Nicodemus isn't here speaking on his own. Notice that he is talking, and maybe even a continuation of a discussion that had started earlier. We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do the things that you do apart from the presence of God. Nicodemus knew there was something different about this rabbi from the other ones. He knew that this Jesus was come from God, and the others, some of the others knew it too. Later, Nicodemus does become a follower of Jesus. We find him in John chapter 19 with Joseph of Arimathea, and Nicodemus brings 100 pounds of ointments and salves for the body of Jesus. We know that he becomes a follower of Christ, and I think this is where that begins. You see, Nicodemus wants to have a conversation. Nicodemus knows there's something different. And Nicodemus comes and he says, nobody can do these things. In verse 3, please notice Nicodemus hasn't asked anything yet. Did you notice that? He hasn't asked a single question. He just shows up and says, "Hey, we know you're from God. We know you're important. We know that you're doing these things. We know only God can do it." And Jesus cuts him off. Cuts him off. You see, Jesus in his divinity sees the heart of Nicodemus. He sees what's really there. We may hide it from the world. We may dress up and put on a front. But God sees what's in here. He looks past the clothing. He looks past the fake and plastered smiles or the forever frowns and sees within here. And he says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus is saying, what would you say if somebody just jumped right in? You know, you haven't said it. You just said, hey, how are you? Doing all right, Joe? It's good to see you. And Joe says, "Well, Jimmy, why are you still struggling with that? How did you know I was?" I mean, that's what happens to Nicodemus here. Jesus says, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't see God at work. You can't see God's plan. You can't see God's will. Nicodemus is a keeper of the law. Remember that. They kept the law, and they kept it solid, and they were sure that everybody else did. But there was a problem, and Jesus could see it, and he could see that it was a problem for Nicodemus. That's why Nicodemus is here. It has stirred something. These teachings of Jesus in the synagogue, every Sabbath, Jesus would be in that synagogue. He'd be teaching, and over we have the stories of Jesus, and Nicodemus comes. "We know you're a powerful teacher," and Jesus goes right at his heart. This is the divine part of who Christ was. He could see into his heart and life. And Nicodemus says to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into a mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, very truly, I tell you. Every time Jesus says very truly, by the way, you need to perk up and listen. Because what he's got to say is right important. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Water, not the baptism, but of natural birth, of having born into this life and entering into the kingdom of God, not just seeing it at work, not seeing God at work. You see, there was a problem. Then Jesus knew what the problem was, and Nicodemus was struggling with this problem too. He knew there was more to it. You see, the Sabbath. Sabbath was what was left. Israel had looked back on its history, and they wondered why in about 1000 B.C. the northern kingdom was allowed to fall, and in 587 the southern kingdom was allowed to fall. The temple was destroyed. How could God let that happen? Well, they looked back on their history, and they said it's because we didn't observe the Sabbath. We didn't honor God as God wanted. So they made all these rules. And they had all these things that you had to do. They even had to decide what was work. How many of you know what work is? Some of you don't. Come and hang out, I'll show you. But what is work? They had to define that. You see, if your donkey was tied and you unloosed him to take him to water, that was work. If you brought him water, that was work. You see, all of those things. How many of you remember a time when nobody cooked on Sunday? It was all done on Saturday. Yeah, I do, growing up. Because you didn't, that was work. It was Sabbath keeping. You see, what they believed in was the form of it. You had to dot your I's, cross your T's, and if you did all that, everybody would see that you were righteous and that you were godly, and that would get you into paradise. You were doing it all right. You were checking off the list. You were getting it all right. You were saying, I'm dotting my I's and I'm crossing my T's. And one of the struggles was a lot of people wasn't keeping it. And they were struggling with keeping it and trying to figure it out. And these Pharisees were making more laws and defining more things. And all of a sudden, you had about 6,000 Pharisees in the day of Jesus who were going around teaching and telling you how to keep Sabbath. That's all they talked about. You see, they taught this, whatever you eat would defile you. Therefore, it had to be prepared a certain way. All the blood had to be removed, and all of these certain ways that this kosher food had to be prepared, certain animals, certain days, certain times. That's what had to be done. That's how it had to be done. Because if you ate that, it wasn't prepared right, then you were defiled before God. You had to go through a cleansing process. Women, you couldn't go at certain times. You had to wash your hands X number of times. You couldn't even pluck a kernel of corn on Sunday. That was all of those things. It was about that outward appearance. And Jesus would later teach, it's not what goes in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that shows what your heart is. You see, it was diametrically opposite. They taught you the way to paradise was through keeping a form. And a lot of people think that today. They think if I keep all the rules, if I keep all the check marks, if I do all the stuff, I'm going to go to heaven. A lot of religions in the world today have all of these hoops that you jump through, all these performance marks and all these things that you have to do. Jesus said that's a form. Paul will actually say in the latter days they'll have a form of godliness, but nigh to the power thereof. From such flee. You see, Nicodemus come with a question on his heart, not on his lips. And Jesus said you can't see it unless you're born again. In other words, changed, Nicodemus. It ain't about the form, the pomp, and circumstance that you're talking about. It's about a change of heart. So many people are worried about keeping all the rules. They're so worried about dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. When it's about our heart, we shouldn't have to worry about it. It should be a natural part of who we are. And that's what he's telling Nicodemus. You're going at it the wrong way. You can't see God. You can't see the kingdom of God. You can't see all of your purpose until you experience salvation. And neither can we. And Jesus goes on to explain that even more to Nicodemus. And then in verse 9 he says, how can these things be? And Jesus said unto him, are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe me, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended. That, by the way, that's me, the Son of Man. Verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And then the famous passage, Carrie read with nice emphasis, by the way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed. Now you need to get your Bible back out. Get the one out of the pew. Go to chapter 3. I got something I want to put in here that they always leave out in the lectionary. I don't know why they do, but they do it. Go with me to verse 17 of John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 17. I'll give you a minute to get there. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Verse 18, those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. They always leave that part out. You see, it's a choice to be made to accept him or reject him. It's to change your life, to be born again, to be saved, means to give and trust Christ unto salvation. It's the only way to get there. And then it begins to change our hearts. It lets us love when it's hard. It lets us forgive when it's difficult. It lets us be what we cannot be without God in our lives. And that was what Nicodemus knew. Nicodemus knew the law was falling short. Nicodemus knew that people were going through the forms and going through the I's and dotting the, crossing the T's and all of those things, but it was falling short because hearts were not changed. Attitudes were not changed. Bitterness, anger, jealousy, and animosity was among them. They were hating the Romans. They were hating each other. They were watching out for each other, trying to catch each other at fault, blaming, pointing fingers, and doing all of those things instead of finding peace and keeping the Word of God. They were finding disharmony, and it was becoming the very dividing rod that was among them. Was that law and the keeping of the law and the lawgivers who were heavy-handed and those who were being squished under the oppressive hand of the very religious leaders that were supposed to be telling them about the love and grace of God. Nicodemus knew it was not doing what it needed to do. He knew there was more, and that's why he came to Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, you can't see the kingdom of God. You're looking in the wrong place. You're looking in the wrong way. So many people are looking for God to come in on a white horse, as did Israel. They're looking for God to change somebody else instead of changing who we are. We want God to fix them instead of fixing our own selves with God's help. We want to interpret the law and apply it to others. First, we should apply it to ourselves, the law of grace and love and forgiveness and redemption and peace. So many people worry about little things of dotting I's and crossing T's. Folks, there are a lot of problems in the world today. I'm so tired of seeing people hating on each other. I'm so tired of Asians being beaten because they're Asians, Jews being beaten because they're Jews. I'm so tired of hearing leaders in our nation stand up and say that Israel should be eliminated. Neither people should be eliminated. There's diversity in this world. Let it be. Let there be a Palestinian state. Let there be an Israel. For God's sake, put down the sword and live in peace. The last time I looked around, there's a lot of real estate in the world. I believe there's room. I believe there's space. I believe there can be peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. But I believe that true peace can come only through Jesus Christ. A turning to God in this nation. This nation is a God nation, founded on God, but it's fallen away. It's went and chased after other idols and other things. My fear is that we won't hear God's call and come back. Folks, do not think for a moment that the United States of America cannot fall. Rome thought it would not, and yet we tour its ruins today. The Empire of Great Britain, it was once said, the sun never set on the Empire of Britain, and it does today. God can restore us, or God can walk away. And it's true for us as individuals. Wesley called it falling from grace. You may not lose your eternal destiny, but you may lose God's presence in your mess. He won't bless your mess, by the way. He won't bless your sin, by the way. He won't support your bad decisions, by the way. He won't support your anger. He won't support your frustrations. He won't support when you persecute somebody else. He won't support that. Do you know why? It goes against his very nature. Read. He's God of love and justice. Seek him first. Love one another. Nicodemus come to know that about Jesus. And at the end, he was there, sacrificing much, losing his position, losing his rank in the Jewish community, because he figured the real was better than the fake. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we thank you that you have loved us while we were yet in our sins. Father, we pray today that we as individuals, we as a community, we as a church, and we as a nation would find ourselves repentant before you, seeking first the kingdom of God, seeking it in a relationship that is intimate and personal. Father, I pray today for each one of us to love the way you would have us love. I would pray that each one of us and those around this country would feel your call upon their lives, that they would open their hearts to receive you, rededicate in many places their lives to you, renew their steadfast hope in you and you alone, that they would dust off their Bibles, that this nation, our communities, and our homes would be havens of the Holy Spirit and of God's work and God's plan and God's healing and God's forgiveness. Father, that we could quit this hate, quit this anger, quit all of the violence that goes on in the world around us, that we would look and love as you have called us. Truly, we could be one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. Father, Nicodemus learned the lesson that it wasn't about the form. It wasn't about looking the part. It was about being changed from the inside out instead of the outside in. Father, may we be changed from the inside out. But let us be changed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we close our service on this Memorial Day Sunday, as a former member of the United States Marine Corps, I ask that you not honor me today, that you not even recognize me today, but that you honor those and remember those who laid down their life, who have no more families to come home to or Sunday services to attend, whose grave may not even be marked, whose remains might could not be found, or who have slipped beneath the waves of our world's oceans. Remember those today who did give it all out of love of country, out of love of family, out of love in their brothers and sisters in arms. Honor them today with memories and prayers and the freedoms we enjoy. And now may God go with us, bless us, and keep us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.